In the name of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Please be seated. First of all, I just want to take this time, this opening sentence, just to tell you how honored I am to be here with you this morning. I hope this is a start to a long and Christ-centered relationship where the gospel is heard, the sacraments are shared, and many lives are transformed as we begin our journey together as fellow Christians at this little corner of God's kingdom called Ascension Episcopal Church. You know, today we read in Luke's gospel where a group of Pharisees confront Jesus and warn him that he better move on because Herod plans on killing him. You know, this is strange because I always thought that the Pharisees didn't like Jesus very much. Yes, we have heard and read many passages where Jesus is at odds with the Pharisees. But in this instance, as in other times, the Pharisees we're not conspiring or fighting against Christ our Lord. And you know, we have other examples where a Pharisee helped out Jesus. For example, Joseph of Arimathea took responsibility for Jesus' burial, and he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was a Pharisaic group. But for most of the gospel, the Pharisees were not big fans of Herod either. And for some reason, in this gospel story we read this morning, it is clear that the Pharisees did not want Jesus to be killed at the hands of Herod. Their strong warning that Jesus' life was in danger, that failed to frighten Jesus. Jesus didn't run. Jesus didn't go into hiding. Instead, Jesus boldly responds by saying, as we read this morning in Luke's gospel, "Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day, my mission is completed. Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the next day. For it can't be that a prophet perish outside of Jerusalem." Jesus shows great courage. Jesus shows at this point in his ministry that he understands who he is and what he is here to do and to be. Jesus knows that he is to go to Jerusalem and die on the cross, and 3 days later he will rise again. But even though he knows his mission and calling, he is still very human, with all the potential, just like any of us, to feel fear. And the threats to his life at this point in his ministry are very, very real. Yet, knowing his call, fear was not a factor. He trusted in God the Father, and now, whatever the outcome, Jesus knew that he was right where he was supposed to be at that particular place and time. Also, I want to give you an example of another person who knew his sense of call. It was one person who showed tremendous courage when there was a reason for him to be consumed with great fear. And that was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. On April 3rd, 1968, Dr. King preached at the Bishop Charles Mason Temple in Memphis. He spoke of an incident that took place in New York City 10 years earlier. He had been signing books when a deranged woman stabbed him. The blade came close to puncturing his aorta, and that would have killed him. Dr. King talked about other threats to his life. Then he talked about the parable of the Good Samaritan. When the priest and the Levite saw the wounded man lying alongside the road, they asked themselves, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the Samaritan came along and asked a different question. He asked himself, if I don't stop to help this man, what will happen to him? King went on to acknowledge the threats against his life, but he said that they didn't matter. In his legendary last speech he gave in Memphis, Dr. King said these words, and I quote, "Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter to me now because I have been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not worried about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." After that speech, Dr. King went back to his room at the Lorraine Motel to rest. The next afternoon, he was standing on the balcony of his room when a shot rang out and killed him. But he had done what he had come to do. There was work left to do, but others would do it. Dr. King had set the nation on the right path, and that's what he had been called to do. That was the call for which he refused to turn back. Reading and studying this story about Dr. King, I reflected on the many people who put their lives on the line in the course of their work. Police, firefighters, soldiers. We honor people like that because they have risked their lives to save lives or to try to make this a better world. Which leads me to ask whether Martin Luther King would have been satisfied with preaching ordinary sermons in a safe pulpit. He definitely would have lived longer. And whether Jesus would have been better off remaining in Nazareth and working as a carpenter instead of bringing the kingdom of heaven into a world that sorely needed it, even though many people such as Herod, the Hebrews, the Romans, and all of humanity, that they would all eventually kill Jesus, hanging him on a cross. Our Christian faith teaches us that life is sacred and that we have a duty to protect life, including our own lives. But our faith also teaches that the preservation of our own lives is not the highest value. The highest value is loving God. The next highest value is loving our neighbor. That suggests to me that Jesus traveling on the road to Jerusalem was exactly where he should have been. He could have saved his life, but he did not. He did what the Father had sent him to do, and us and all of humanity desperately needed him to continue his journey to the cross. And Martin Luther King, supporting sanitation workers in Memphis, was exactly where he should have been, even though he suffered a tragic death at the hands of an assassin's bullet. And these two examples beg the question, where are we supposed to be? It's unlikely that we will ever have to choose between life and death, and anyone will say to us, curse God or die. But if we are ever faced with that choice, I hope that we will die singing a hymn that praises Jesus. However, We will all find ourselves faced with smaller choices, such as living faithfully or comfortably, living honestly or living a lie, taking care of number one or helping our neighbors, living lives full of fear and darkness or living lives full of grace and hope. Those are the kinds of choices that we all face nearly every day. When they come, and we will almost certainly face that kind of choice, I pray we make the choices that honors God, serves Christ, and brings joy to all of our lives and the lives of others as we seek to love and serve the Lord. I hope and pray as your rector that we base everything we do together as the body of Christ on Christ's love and the grace of God. I pray that we hold each other up when we fail and are gracious to each other in offering forgiveness when it is needed. I sincerely pray that together we seek to do God's will and move with courage, spreading the love of Christ in God's vineyard here in West Houston. I am so grateful that God has given me the opportunity to serve Christ here at Ascension, and I look forward to finding out what God has in store as we journey together in the service of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.